Starting your day off with a take on Vegas you won't get anywhere else.
Hi, I'm Holly Madison, and I listen to Brian Shapiro.
Hi, this is William Shatner, and I listen to Brian Shapiro.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and I listen to Brian Shapiro.
Let's just cut the crap. You should really listen to me, Mike Hammer, on The Vegas Take, starting now.
That always makes me laugh, hearing Mike Hammer say that. Welcome, it is The Vegas Take. We are here at 1140 CBS Sports Radio. Hammer and Shapiro.
What's up?
Joined, regretfully, by my co-host,
Mike Hammer. I'm regretfully here with you today.
Yes. How was your week, by the way?
My week was great. You know how it was. You were at my show this week. It was awesome.
I was. I'm going again tonight, by the way.
Oh, great.
I just go for the comp tickets.
I hate when you show up.
I'll be here. So, I'll be there tonight.
So listen.
Yes.
It's been a good week, but we've got... I'm actually on Facebook Live right now.
Nice.
I'm not showing our special guest yet, but we have been teasing this. I've been teasing it all week.
Mm-hmm.
Who's our guest today?
And you've been teasing me all week.
I've been teasing you all week.
Can I just say sometimes I lie?
Yes.
In Vegas, when I've done shows in the past, I say, hey, we got a big show today.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not very honest.
Yes.
But I'm actually being truthful today.
Yes.
We actually do have a big show today.
It's amazing.
So we do have Robin Leach. He's coming up at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Let's not forget about him.
Yes.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, Robin. So he'll be joining us at 3 o'clock. And there's a lot of new shows in Vegas and some shows that have gotten the kick out the door. Not yours.
No, not mine.
Thank goodness. So Robin's going to be joining us at 3 o'clock. But the guy we got in studio right now, he owes about $1 billion in court judgments. I'm not kidding. That's true. Mark Zuckerberg personally, you know, wants $800 million from this guy. He lost it in court. He is known as the Spam King. He is one of the world's best computer hackers, but his story is unbelievable.
He's brilliant, this guy. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man.
And not to call him like a lampshade, but he is a Vegas fixture.
Yes.
He's been in Vegas for a while, and his stories are unbelievable. The FBI followed this guy, and he actually has to report to federal prison next month. So I figure we better get him before he goes to prison, although I don't know if we can get him while he's behind bars.
No.
But we probably shouldn't joke around too much about that. I do feel bad about
that. And he's sitting right next to you, too.
He's bigger than you. And he's three times my size. The Spam King himself, who rarely does any interviews, joining us in studio, Sanford Wallace.
Sanford Wallace.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Wow, so professional.
Hey, Mike, I was told I'm going to get free Criss Angel tickets.
Free Criss? Oh, thanks a lot.
Do I get them now or do I have to wait till the end?
He's starting already. You get Criss Angel tickets now, Sanford.
Okay, thank you.
I'll stay. This is how he gets on. This guy has been working his material before he got on the air. This is great.
This guy is a genius when it comes to computer Hillary Clinton probably could have used your help a couple months back. But anyway, we can talk about that later. But you have made a lot of money in the spamming business, and a lot of people who don't know what that is, who don't know what that means when you're a computer hacker, when you're a spam king, explain to people that are listening right now, what does that mean?
Well, about 25 years ago, I just noticed I was getting a lot of junk mail in the postal, in my mailbox. So I said, why can't I do this on the internet? You know, why not? I mean, no one's doing it on the internet, so why don't I do it?
So what exactly did you do?
I just came up with a way to send out a bunch of messages and get paid a lot of money to do it and to piss off a lot of people while I was at it, apparently.
So at what age did you start doing this?
I was in my 20s, so that was like 80 years ago, maybe 90 years ago.
And in your entire career of doing this, how much money would you estimate you made?
I know I paid over $5 million in taxes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And how much didn't you pay in taxes?
I'm sorry, I cannot recall.
There's nobody from the IRS listening. Don't worry. If they are, I'm screwed as well. So it's okay. But anyway, Sanford is a well-known guy. You know, he's a club promoter, a DJ here in town. He's done that. He's done a little bit of everything. But he's been very successful behind a computer, and it finally did catch up to him. But what made you decide to get into this business? Because you just mentioned you got a lot of, you know, crap, trash mail, you know, through the mailbox. And it just something just lit a bulb in your head that said, hey, let's do this.
Yeah, I was living at home with my mom.
Go ahead.
I was living at home with my mom, and I just decided I didn't want to live at home with my mom. I'd be broke and not have a car. And my girlfriends weren't that hot, you know. So I figured I needed to do something to change all that, and I did.
So brutally honest.
It's very honest. That was 25 years ago.
Now, let me ask you, because a lot of people don't realize, but you actually you just started out at home. You didn't know it was going to turn into this big empire. And you made what? Well, on the books, $10 million, right? I'm assuming more, but
yeah, I mean, it wasn't all bad actually. There was a lot of things that I did that, you know, people use to this day for legitimate marketing purposes.
Yeah.
Just at the time, everyone said, no, you cannot use the internet for advertising. And that was the big controversy that I apparently was in the forefront.
Right. So MySpace sues you for a couple hundred million dollars. You lose that judgment. Facebook sues you for around $800 million. You lose that. I want to try to explain to people what exactly you are doing, and tell me if I'm wrong in explaining this. You're sending emails to people, ringtones, et cetera, you know, things of that nature. And every single time somebody clicks on one of those things, you're making money. Is that correct?
I figured out a way to send messages into those platforms, and we had these things pop up, different advertisements that I got paid for, kind of like what happens today on the internet. But I was doing it without the permission of Facebook, and that's really what led to all this trouble.
Well, it was beyond without the permission. Facebook asked you to stop.
No, well,
didn't they? Time and time, or MySpace as well.
I think 10 million messages or however many went through probably... you know, upset some of their administrators, and I'm sorry that it happened, but, you know, that was my business, man.
Yeah.
So basically, you're sending out all these emails. You're making a ton of money that you have to feel like you're on top of the world, because that what an idea that is, first of all, and the amount of money that you're making through generating it through this idea that you have. You're one of the first people to do this, correct?
Yeah, I was definitely the highest profile one to do it. I was in a bunch of magazines and everything in the 90s.
So Larry King asked you to come on his show. All these other publications are asking you to come on because you're known as, right, the Spam King. Your name on the internet, at least, is Spamford. Your real name, Sanford. And you're making all this money. You feel like you're on top of the world. Do you feel like you made any mistakes? In the next segment, I want to get to the fact that you were eventually caught. We'll get into that next segment. But do you feel like you made any mistakes?
Yeah, I probably just shouldn't have done it. That was my mistake. And I probably should have only interviewed my camera and none of the other ones that got me to turn me into the biggest enemy of the history of the internet.
You do have a lot of enemies. I mean, I do too. Don't get me wrong.
But that's because no one likes you.
Right.
For your personal hygiene.
Yours is based completely
Brian.
On personality. Mine's based on what I did.
Exactly.
If it's my personal hygiene, that's a problem. I'm sitting right next to both of you. And I just had an egg omelet across the street. So
it only took me 2 hours to make it, though.
Yeah, it took a while. But, okay, so you're at the height of your spamming career. You're making all this money. You're well known. Although you said you didn't want to be well known among ordinary people, just like geeks, right? You wanted geeks to know who you are.
Correct. I didn't want to be known by actual regular, like an everyday name that you know. Mm-hmm.
And you're from New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when do you move out here to Las Vegas?
About 15, 16 years ago.
And why do you do that?
I wanted to be a high roller.
Which he was, and he's going to tell us about that the next segment, which is unbelievable, these stories.
Oh, yeah.
But Sanford has obviously been in the news a lot recently because he has to report to federal prison, and he hasn't done any interviews since that. So what I want to do is I want to take a quick break, Conrad, and when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about, first of all, how you learned that the FBI was following you in Las Vegas. That's a crazy story. And I want to also ask you before we get to that, I want to talk about before you get caught, before the FBI catches you, you were a high roller in Las Vegas. You had a lot of money and you lived a crazy lifestyle that only people like me could dream of. I will actually be seeing the Mike Hammer show. I will be getting hammered tonight. Hopefully late as well. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm bringing a date. So we'll see.
What's his name?
Very funny.
Yeah, I thought so.
Very original.
I thought so. Very original.
Very, very original.
Very original.
You know, can I just say this?
No.
If I had a show like you had, I'd be getting laid every night.
Oh, well.
You are the luckiest guy in the world that you have attractive women that go to your show. They want to take pictures with you and sign autographs. I say to myself, is this guy taking advantage of this? Because it's amazing to me, okay? I'm just a radio guy. I have a face for radio. You have a show in Vegas. Not many people can say that. Do you take advantage of that?
Well, anyone could say it. They'd be lying. But, yeah, I work a lot, Brian. So, you know.
Okay, so that's a no.
I don't say anything. I don't get myself in trouble.
So that's a no. That's a no. Okay, but you can make fun of me. That's fine.
We did. And we did. We have a winner, by the way, for the for your car. We had a contest. We've been running this for a couple of weeks. Anyone that can sit in Brian's car for longer than 5 minutes without catching tetanus wins two tickets to my show. Shickets. You like shickets?
I never heard it.
Two shickets for my show tonight.
Shicklets?
Shicklets. Two chicklets for my show tonight.
Gosh. Guy tries to make fun of me. He does a show. He can't even talk when he tries to make fun of me. Unbelievable. Don't talk like that tonight on your show.
All right.
Jesus,
you're I'll try not to. But who's someone's here that's more important than either of us right now.
Spam King himself. Sanford Wallace.
Oh, you can't talk either.
We're going to get
trouble with the access today.
I don't know. We're going to get to the point where we're going to talk about how he got caught. But again, this guy was making millions and millions of dollars from spamming on Facebook, MySpace, on the internet. A genius when it comes to spamming and computer hacking. By the way, have you ever been to the hacking convention? They have that here.
They don't let me go there.
Why? Why?
They say that their cell phones don't work or something. Like that.
They actually have a hacking convention here. It's unbelievable. Anyway, you're on top of the world. You're making all this money spamming and stuff, and you're a gambler. And I know that you are a high roller, right? A $500,000 player here with a $500,000 credit line. You must have some crazy gambling stories from back in the day when you were loaded with money.
Well, when I first came into money, I was excited. I came here to Vegas, threw money around like it was nothing. I had my own butler.
How does that happen?
He called me Mr. Sunford.
So was this in a casino or?
Yeah, it was at the Venetian. He was not allowed to sit down 24 hours a day. They did not allow him to sit down. He had to be on his feet.
Okay, hold on. When you check into a casino, you check into a hotel. How is that arranged for every normal day?
Yeah, I don't get a butler.
$5 blackjack player like myself, I'll never get there. So when you check into the hotel, how do they arrange that? How do you arrange that to get a free butler serving you? How does that happen?
When I got off the jet that they sent me.
Oh my God. Now, where did you come from? We're
from New York.
Okay.
Yeah, I got off the jet, and I was greeted like I was the king of...
Spam.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Mr. Sunford was here.
Now, they just knew you had money. They didn't know what you did, right?
Oh, they really care about you here in Vegas. It has nothing to do with money.
Right.
You fooled, didn't they?
Right. Okay. I've always wanted to ask you this, any top-notch gambler, this question. Do they offer you prostitutes? Can you answer that question?
They do not offer you prostitutes, but they do bring female company that just so happened to enjoy donations.
Mike, you wouldn't enjoy that, so don't worry about it. No, but
I ruined that joke.
Okay, so they bring female companions. They just want to spend time with you. It's like the sign, Mike, you see on the strip, for a good time, call blah, 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 blah. Girls direct to you. I can promise you they probably don't look like that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Actually, they did. In my room, they look like that.
Okay,
sorry, Brian. The $5 ones, gamblers don't get that.
Fremont Street. Anyway,
that Tropicana corner over here, they just aren't the same.
I've been there before. Anyway, no, but sir. Okay, so seriously, without getting anybody in trouble, you're a high roller. You're a popular guy. You're a big gambler. Without getting anybody in trouble, again, we're not naming a casino. Does a host set that up for you when you bring girls up to the room?
Yeah, the host or the director of marketing, but
do
I don't know that
name. Do you
think
they still do that?
I have no idea, but rumor has it that still does occur once in a while.
Tell us, you told me a story off the air about a butler, the butler you were talking about that stood there, and they had a little thing they set up for you in the room. Can you tell it in a clean way, sort of?
Yeah. Well, first of all, this butler always just referred to me as Mr. Sanford. Even if I wasn't there, he would stock the refrigerator with water and go, another water for Mr. Sanford, another water. And I'd walk into the room. He thought I was sleeping. Okay, so this is the butler we're talking about. All right, so anyway, we had a special show. It was a little more less classy than the Mike Hammer show, let's put it that way.
Yeah, because I'm real classy.
Right.
Must have been a real dump.
Although his show does include a blow-up doll.
Well, this show included a toy, let's just say that. And as the show's going on, for me and my buddies from New York, we're all hanging out. My butler's going, Mr. Sanford, do you enjoy the show, Mr. Sanford? Are you enjoying every part of the show?
That would freak me out. If I was sexually aroused, that I would lose that because I don't want a butler behind me, especially behind me, saying something like that.
He had to make sure in case Sanford wasn't enjoying the show. Did you ever tell him you're not enjoying the show?
You would have said that, but I personally enjoy the show.
He would have told him to join. Are you kidding me? Anyway, okay, so you're getting that sort of treatment done. How much money are you actually gambling? Can you name the casinos? I don't know if you can.
I mean, it was the major casinos. I actually had a $500,000 line at about 10 different casinos.
All from spamming. Unbelievable. Yep. Okay, so what games did you play?
Craps. Except once in a while, there was an exception.
Okay. Well, let's start with the craps game.
Okay.
You're a $500,000 player. How do you figure that? Do you reserve a table for yourself? Or give me a crap story.
I just had a routine where I would link up with other high rollers that were crazier than me. And, we just had incredible experiences at those tables. For example, at the Venetian, I wasn't allowed to play craps unless every single person, including the dealers and the floor people, were eating lobster. That was the rule of the other player.
That is so bizarre.
He would not play. He would not roll the dice until the dealers were eating lobster at the table.
How do you even request something like that?
Well, you're playing with guys just have mega bucks, basically, right?
Yeah, these guys, so, 10 is 20, 30 million dollars.
First of all, I would not request them eating lobster. I'd request them eating wasabi, because that would probably cause them to make more mistakes at the table. But, okay, so you're playing with guys that
the guy requested, right? The players
requested the dealers eat lobster.
Oh, I got you. Yes.
It didn't stop me. I was eating lobster, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
All right. So you're betting all these kinds of money. What is it like to be betting six figures in a craps roll? I mean, what is that like?
It's like a circus and an insane asylum at the same time. It's nuts. It's craziness.
Well, what's the story you mentioned with the you were playing craps with the die?
Yeah, like if you play craps, anyone who plays craps, they know if you throw the dice over the table, a lot of players are superstitious and they say same dice. And the floor people got to pick up the dice and hand it back to the player instead of picking new dice.
Yeah.
Well, this player I'm playing against, the other guy at the table, the other high roller, you know, he was getting angry. He was losing millions of dollars. He takes the two dice in his hand, and as hard as he could, he wailed. He threw those dice 100 yards into the slot area and screams, same dice! And you see all these suits running to grab the dice. We got you, sir. Please, we got you, sir.
And I would assume this guy's a good tipper, so they're going to take care of him, right?
No, it doesn't matter. They're players.
Yeah, it didn't
They matter. Don't care about the tips.
Right.
It's the play.
Right.
Everyone doesn't keep their tips. It's not old-fashioned Vegas.
That is unbelievable. Did you win?
Yeah, I mean, I won more money from the mistakes than I did from my luck.
Oh, yeah. What happened there?
Just the guy would make – anytime they would screw up my payout, I would let him know. But anytime they didn't screw up my payout,
I heard a rumor about you that you were responsible for getting several people fired at a strip casino because they gave you some incredible deal that you took advantage of. Is that true?
Well, I didn't purposely get them fired, but they, you know, when they were giving me – I mean, I want everyone to make money. Don't get me wrong. But they were giving me 30% back on anything that I lost.
That's unbelievable.
So I would lose, I'd get a 30% back, and then I'd come back and win, and I didn't have to give them anything back.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I actually lost all my comps at the Venetian for that reason.
Okay, as we know, usually the fun has to come to an end eventually. Eventually this stuff caught up to you. I hate to bring this on a down note because those stories.
Well, how about you can't talk about his PyGow experience?
Oh, you got to hear
the PyGow you're talking
experience.
About the
Do we have time for that?
Yeah, we got time.
I mean, I can make this a very, very quick story.
Go ahead.
But I think I was almost murdered by the Asian emperor of somewhere. I mean, I guess when I was in a big tournament with all these multi-million dollar players, whoever won the PyGow tournament won like $10 million. And my host got me into that for free.
And you didn't know how to play PyGow.
I never played. It's the dumbest game in the world. I don't know how anyone plays that game. But, I mean, you have to get close to 9 if you add the cards up. I have no idea.
That's not PyGow. We're thinking of another game.
It wasn't PyGow.
PyGow is when you have two hands versus the dealers.
It wasn't PyGow. It was the other game.
Oh, so he really doesn't know the game.
I really don't. I don't even know the name of the game.
So you're in a game of PyGow, but it's not PyGow because you don't even know PyGow. Okay, so you're in a game you don't know how to play.
If somebody knows the game that we're talking about, I guess they can call in. I don't know. I don't know what game he's talking
about.
All
the Asians play. The high roller Asians play it.
Okay.
And they keep track of the trends, which card, who's going to win, dealer or player. Anyway, I guess I was just picking up the cards. And the players were absolutely furious. They were cursing at me in different languages, saying that I wasn't bending the card properly. I was cursing I was evil. I'm cursing the king and the queen. So I almost got kicked out for not knowing how to hold the cards at the PyGow tournament.
But they were calling you the devil, weren't
they? The devil, yeah. This devil.
You the devil.
This devil gonna kill us all. You know, they were just so angry at me.
That is unbelievable. I can't imagine what it was like when you're sitting with all these Asian players and these guys are multi-million dollar gamblers and you have no idea what you're doing and they're all screaming and yelling at you.
It was an uproar. I caused an uproar and I almost won too. That would have really caused
an uproar. Imagine if he actually wins.
There would have been a hit on me.
How many years ago was this, by the way, when you were in these gambling?
About 13, 14 years ago.
Okay, so you're having fun. The spamming eventually slows down a little bit, right? And you decide to get into the club business. At what point...
He was DJ Master Web.
You were a DJ.
That was his name, DJ Master Web,
You ran some pretty prominent clubs here. But I wanted to ask you, before we get into the club stuff, at what point did you say to yourself, oh my goodness, with this spamming and everything that I'm doing, it might catch up to me, and I could get caught, so I have to be careful.
Well, it wasn't like I was hiding. I just didn't think that it was criminal, you know?
Right.
That was the problem. And then, you know, the pressure got more and more, it got higher and higher, and government was getting involved. So that, you know, started heating up then at that point.
At what point did you find out that the FBI was following you?
When I got knocking my door around 6 in the morning while I was sleeping in Summerlin. Yeah.
What happens?
Just two guys show up at my door, really nice guys, by the way. And they're like, is this Mr. Wallace? This is the FBI.
And you're like, no.
I watch Law & Order. I was like, you know, I want to cooperate, but I need a lawyer.
Oh, you knew right away yeah, to say
is that.
Right.
What you said? Why did they? Why did they knock on the door? They wanted to ask you questions.
They didn't. You know, they just wanted to ask me questions. It was cooperative. And by the way, everyone has been very professional and cooperative from the government. I mean, it's unbelievable. This experience has been pretty interesting.
So they knock on your door, and at that point, you must have needed to be wearing a diaper. I would imagine you must have been pretty scared. I would be pretty scared if that happened to me.
Yeah. Well, just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun, exactly.
So after that point, After that point, I would imagine
I'm just lazy once in a while. I just don't like to get up from watching my movies.
Mike's a really lazy guy. Oh, Mike's on fire today. Anyway, here I am.
So the FBI comes to your door.
Let me segue to what eventually happens, if I could.
Yeah.
I guess I had to eventually turn myself into the FBI's office in California. They were nice enough to let me turn myself in because they could have arrested me. And when I turned myself in, it was a funny story because I was actually thanking them, very, very humbly thanking them, because I'm about 340 pounds. I'm a big guy, and it's 120 degrees in Vegas. And they had me in the back of their car. It was like 75, 80 degrees in the car. And I thanked them because I was so uncomfortable. It was so hot in Vegas. And I was like, and by the way, my lawyer said, do not say one word to the FBI agents. And of course, I'm sitting there having a conversation with them about the weather. But I thanked them for bringing me out of the heat. And they thought it was hysterical that I was, you know, making jokes in the back of a car.
At that point, does it set in with you that, oh my gosh, I might actually be sentenced and I might actually have to go to jail for a little while for what I did?
Well, you know, I've been in the club business, so I'm used to dealing with like violent drug offenders every day. I mean, this is a step up. I'm going to nonviolent drug offenders. So
why don't you catch people up on where you're at right now? This has been going on for a long time, right? This has been a couple years in the making. You've had a couple different attorneys. Can you talk? Didn't your probation officer die or something? Didn't that happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's really
I don't mean to laugh about that.
No, I mean, she was actually very nice.
Coincidentally.
Everybody's been very nice to me.
Coincidentally,
you know?
They died.
Yeah. Yeah. Your probation officer's so nice, she died so that you can get an extra couple months out without having to go.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm such a horrible person.
For the record, Sanford is a great guy. He's trying to be nice, but, you know, me and Brian, we've got to.
We're jerks.
We've got to egg him on.
We're jerks.
Yeah, we're the jerks.
Okay, so it finally comes to a head, not literally, but a couple months ago, you are sentenced. So explain that to people of what the sentencing was. You're sentenced in San Jose, California, correct?
I'm actually going to Colorado for two years.
Oh, you found out where you're going. Yeah. So you're going to Colorado?
Yeah.
So can people visit you and send letters?
No one's going to visit me. It's 10 hours away.
Are there conjugal
visits?
Well,
we got people in we've got people in Colorado.
If you know anyone, I don't want them to visit me.
Explain this to me. What if a hot chick comes to visit? Because you're a pretty famous guy as far as spamming and all that stuff. What if a hot chick said, you know, it's her fetish. She likes spammers that weigh 340 pounds, and she shows up and she wants a conjugal visit. That's got to break your heart if they don't allow it to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to have to change the law because they don't let that. I might have to go to state prison, like a high security state prison, just to do that.
Just for that situation.
Yeah. It's a
now, that's what's crazy because he's going to prison. But you're going to be in there, and there's going to be people like, oh, what are you in for? You'll ask someone, oh, I'm here for rape. Another guy, I'm here for murder. They look at you. What are you here for?
I sent a message to Facebook.
That is kind of crazy.
I mean, that's street credibility, if you ask me.
That is street credit.
Now, let me ask you a question. I mean, it's a tough thing to ask, but you're a very smart guy. You're really, really smart. I'm sure once you get in there, I mean, this intelligence and this sneakiness, I'm sure you'll come up with some things you want to do in prison, right? That
I never thought of that, so thank
Conrad,
you for putting that on my mind.
Our producer's laughing.
They're not
listening.
What's
so funny, Conrad? Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, that's an incredible idea. Thank you for planting that, Mike.
Yeah,
if anything
welcome.
Comes good from my relationships outside of prison, I'll thank
I think you,
for you that.
Should watch Shawshank Redemption. Watch that movie. There are a few other movies you should
watch. Yeah, he's going to escape through a hole of crap.
Yeah, particularly the rape.
200 miles of run.
I can make a joke there as far as that goes, but I won't.
But you can't.
No, I can't.
You can't.
I want to. No, don't watch Shawshank or don't watch American History X either. There's some violent scenes in that movie as well.
It's white collar crimes you're going to essentially, right? You hope?
Yeah, it's just drug dealers and
that's all.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of drug dealers.
Probably that's that's really what it is, the drug dealers, I think.
Yeah.
More than the white collar criminals.
You think there'll be drugs behind bars?
I don't know. I hope. No, I'm kidding. joke.
So if you're just joining us, we are speaking with the Spam King himself, one of the world's most well-renowned.
The word notorious is you're looking for the most notorious.
One of the computer hackers, spam kings. He was sued by Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook for $800 million, and he lost in court, and he also lost MySpace a couple hundred million dollars. But I want to ask him a little bit about what he's done after. Hammer and Shapiro bringing
it to
you.
I'm getting yelled at by the producer here, Conrad.
That's okay. He's laughing about something.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a phone number. But
you know. I don't know. Well, by the way, let me remind everybody, we got Robin Leach coming
up. It's hostile over here.
Yeah. It is a little
hostile. Robin Leach at 3 p.m.
He's coming up at 3 o'clock, and we will catch up with him. But we've got the Spam King in studio. It is Sanford Wallace. He is reporting to federal prison. What day do you have to report, my friend?
September 7th. That's exactly 1 month.
Yes. So 1 month from now, you report. And if you're asking why, why does he have to report? Well, he made millions and millions of dollars spamming for Facebook and MySpace, and he's lost about $1 billion in court judgments. But after the spamming, after the FBI tracks you down, all that stuff, you have been a club promoter for years in this town and a very successful club promoter. One club that I know you ran for a while was Crown Nightclub at the Rio. That is the club, actually, that Prince bought out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And his office, from what I recall, was the same office that Prince used, which is incredible.
I sat in Prince's chair.
You did?
Yes. Actually, some of the autographs on his chair.
Did you fit in Prince's chair?
Yes.
He's a little man.
I don't know what he did on that chair, but it was a big chair.
I don't know. I would imagine, well, we won't go there. But anyway.
Yeah. Why, Brian? Oh, is that another joke you didn't have?
It was another joke that I can't say on the air. I'll say it off the air. But I know you're the professional when it comes to jokes.
I'm not professional.
Mr. Professional.
I'm not professional.
I know how it is.
I'm anti-professional.
Don Rickles Jr. over here sitting to my left. I know. No, you're a funny guy. But Sanford, honestly, what is it like running a huge nightclub like that? And it's hip-hop, right? So no one's really doing that in this town. You were on the forefront of it. Everybody that is into hip-hop, that wants to be at a hip-hop club at one point or another, was at your club, right?
Yeah, of course. I found another way to do something that everyone else didn't want to do. But in Vegas, that's it's kind of like running a show at the Four Queens. You know, it's something that only...
Yeah, no one wants to do. I
exactly.
get it.
And, but I did it well, just like you do your show very well.
Oh, thanks.
And, you know, we had 2,000-3,000 people a night show up at that club.
When you have 2,000 or 3,000 people,
which is a lot,
there's going to be a few people. Just like if you go to, you know, a big fight or an event, there's going to be a couple people that want to cause trouble. So how do you deal with stuff like that in the nightclub business?
I mean, we had one security guard for every 50 guests, so we really
Didn't you hire Metro too for a while?
We hired Metro. We patted people down. You know, you got to go through security to get into that club.
So take this a step back though, because this is a club. We know how many clubs fail here in Vegas. So once again, you step in, you oversee things, you see how what they're missing, what they need, because you're actually a marketing guy. That's really what you are. You're a marketing guy. And then you turn this club into a successful nightclub business, I should say, right?
Yeah, I mean, the owner was trying to do everything but hip-hop, and I guess someone canceled on him on a Saturday, and I had 3 days. He contacted me, said, you have 3 days to fill this place up. And, you know, we did a hip-hop promotion, and we had 2,000 people show up the first. But this is funny, though. The president of the hotel comes walking down to our line, and he says, Sanford, I just want to thank you. This is the first time I've seen a line like this at Crown in the half year it's been open. But with that said, I kind of feel like half the people in this line will murder me on the way home. So that's how the story started. I mean, that's how it started.
This is an interesting opportunity. I'm going to give people the opportunity that are listening right now to ask any question you like. If you want to ask about Hillary Clinton's email scandal, you could ask him that. If you want to ask him about the club business, you could ask him that. If you want to ask him about his spamming career, you could ask him that. It is one of the world's most renowned computer hackers on the planet. He is unfortunately going to jail next month, but I'm going to open up the phone lines right now. If anybody wants to call in and ask the Spam King, Sanford Wallace, a question, here is the number to call. 702, obviously, 889-5978. Let me give that number out one more time if you want to give us a call. Call into the Spam King and ask Sanford Wallace a question. 702-889-5978. And, Sanford, let me ask you this question here real quick. The average question that you get from somebody, what would it be? When people go up to you and ask you about your career, what is the biggest question they ask you?
They read that I sent 100 million emails, so they said, you must have been really bored. So, I mean, they asked me, were you bored? And I said, no, I was not bored.
No, but you love doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that it really bothered a lot of people. And honestly, the way I did it, I wasn't sending penis pill messages and things that really are annoying.
Oh, Brian, you would have liked those.
Yes. I would have loved that. My ex-fiance would have loved me taking that. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, I just thought that I was creating a new medium to advertise, and that was always my goal in this. But companies like Facebook have a lot of power.
Real quick, it's a different phone number, apparently, to call in. So if you have questions for Sanford Wallace, it's 702-889-7410. 702-889-7410. This guy knows everything about email. So if you want to ask, like Brian said, about the Hillary Clinton scandal, I mean, you know everything going on technically. So that's the number, 702-889-7410. Thanks, Conrad.
889-7410 if you have a question for the spam king himself, Sanford Wallace. And let me ask you that. I wanted to ask you about Hillary Clinton because we all know a lot of people feel like she's untrustworthy, so on and so forth. But when you look at this email scandal, and the FBI investigated her just like they investigated you, I actually tend to think that she's probably more guilty than you.
All I know is I just wish I had her lawyers, and I probably wouldn't be going to jail. That's
if you're running for president, you probably wouldn't be going to jail. Do you feel like the FBI might have made an example out of you?
Yeah, I think Facebook has a lot of power. And, you know, they help the government, too. They help the government find criminals. They identify criminals. They work with the government. So I had to be made of an example. And, you know,
do you believe that she lied? And do you believe that because of what she did, that people could have hacked into her email and people could have had, you know, confidential material that deemed classified? Do you believe that somebody like yourself could have easily hacked into her email because she was using a public server?
Anybody that knows how to get to an unencrypted message could have seen it. I mean, it was a very dumb thing that she
did. Do you feel like because she did something like that she is not to say that Donald Trump is fit for president, but do you feel like Hillary Clinton is unfit for president because of that?
I just think that everyone that runs for presidency is a criminal. That's what I think.
That's what I think. Yeah, the whole government's got, you know, it's a system that they've got, and it's all about lobbyists and paying people off and you know, giving back to these interest groups. So
there's just so much dirt everywhere.
Yeah.
How easy is it to hack into somebody's, let's just say you're dating a girl, you don't trust her, and you want to hack into not only her phone, but her email. How easy is it for somebody to do something like that?
That's a good question, and I'm going to answer it in a good way, I think. It's not about the technical ways to hack into someone's account. It's called social engineering. It's easy to get someone to just give you their password or to give you the hint that you need. If you're looking for someone's password, usually that person will tell you if you ask enough questions. It's kind of like playing poker. You know, and that's the way most hackers actually get that first break, through a social engineering like that.
So it's pretty easy, actually. Is there a way to track somebody's cell phone, where they are at all times? It is, right? It's easy.
You can actually track your own cell phone now on Google.
So it's easy to catch somebody in the act. Why don't you run a business where how to catch your ex doing something?
Some of that's illegal, and actually the FBI is prosecuting a few people.
Is it really?
Yeah.
How about that show, Cheaters?
I like that show.
Like, you can't put spyware onto another phone so that you can see what your ex is or what your girlfriend is typing. You can't do that stuff without her permission. That's against federal law as well.
But yet the FBI can do that if they want.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, as far as an individual person, if the FBI has a proper, you know, court order or whatever their legal, whatever they need to do legally, they might be able to do that. But as far as a citizen goes, you can't hack into your girlfriend's computer and get her information without her permission.
You know. So it's not that, but so if you're going to break the law, you can do it, and you're saying it'd be easy, it'd be no problem. I mean, have you ever done that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Brian, first of all, listen,
he's
not going to say anything, but listen, if he broke into MySpace and Facebook, you know, what were you? You were sending a million emails a day. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I was. Here's the perfect example.
Not you. I'm sorry. This guy. That
right.
Was like,
no. But the thing is, I was getting permission. People were actually giving me their passwords to do this.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. I mean, they literally did it. That's how I got it. I didn't actually break into anyone's account.
What's the
people
most?
Gave me their password.
The most money you ever made in one day?
Oh, wow. About $50,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is unbelievable. God,
if I knew you, you would be gambling.
You'd be friends with him, Brian, if he knew you.
The slot machine.
So at your best there, you had a system put in place where you're not even having to do a lot of work. Your system that you put in is sending out the emails automatically, correct?
Yeah, I was traveling around the country, watching sports games, watching basketball.
Were you hanging out with any like prominent people, celebrities? What type of people did you hang out with back in the day?
Prominent hookers.
Wow. He's brutally
prominent.
Honest.
And my wife at the time.
Oh, you were married?
Yeah.
And she was
a
hooker?
We all partied.
You were married and you were getting hookers.
No, she wasn't.
Married to the hooker. No, I'm only kidding. Only kidding. Just kidding, Lisa.
Just kidding, Lisa.
Because you told me stories when you were, you know, you live in New Jersey, but you were going to Philadelphia 76ers games and you were right on the court And you have a story about Allen Iverson that I think people will appreciate, right? Because didn't he disrespect you once, and then he went to one of your clubs in Philadelphia?
Yeah, no, he would always run around the court with his hand out and getting a high five from all the fans. He would never give me the high five for some reason. I don't know why, but he came to one of the clubs that I was DJing at in Vegas and asked for a request. And I said, you got to give me a high five because you never did in Philly. He's like, what you talking about? You know? And we ended up laughing about it afterwards. But, yeah, Allen Iverson, man, I saw a lot of his games from the court.
Now, speaking of which, so you get in this long battle, this lawsuit with MySpace, but weren't you friendly with them after the court date?
Yeah, I hung out with all the CEO and the CFO of MySpace 2 years later, and we were all laughing about it. You know, those guys didn't even care. They said this whole thing was just, you know, just a big show for the lawyers, basically.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think it was to prevent future things from happening? Like when you talk about, we've talked about, like, Catch Me If You Can, the movie. And they've got that, Frank, is it Abigail or Abagnale? But because of what he did, they've invented, you know, processes to protect checks for the most part, you know? Do you think that what you did, because of what you've done, that there's been a lot of measures in place to prevent more? I mean, we still get spam.
Everyone who does this type of things do these types of things.
Yeah.
They help their security departments in a way. I mean, I don't think the security
you're
departments
so helpful,
look at
Stanford.
It that way, but they do. This is what some companies will pay hackers to break into the system just so they could test it. So I'm not saying I did a great thing there.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. I apologize.
No, that's exactly the question. That was exactly it. And Go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead.
I see your lips salivating over there.
I was going to give out the number, and I was going to take a quick break.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll come back with plenty more to get to with the Spam King, Sanford Wallace. Let me give out that number real quick. If you have a question for Sanford Wallace, or if you just want to make fun of Mike Hammer, you can do that as well. Yeah, you can do that. Hammer and Shapiro, CBS Sports Radio, 1140, one of the best.
In that order, Hammer.
That's
first.
Right. Yeah, well, if that boosts your ego, congratulations.
Hell
go ahead
yeah.
and do it. It's not helping you get the ladies at your show, though, from what I understand. I don't know.
You don't understand much.
You're too quote-unquote busy. Anyway, welcome back to the show. And Sanford Wallace joining us in studio, one of the best computer hackers on the planet. He's going to have to pay the price for it, though. He's reporting to federal prison in Colorado coming up next month. We're glad he came in here to join us. He doesn't do many interviews. Now, let me just give my opinion on this.
Okay? He doesn't do any interviews.
That's true.
That was our big claim to fame.
You hear stories across the country. I forgot which college it was where that kid raped a girl and gets 3 months behind bars, okay? We live in a society where you could decide, and it's a decision, to get into a car when you're drunk. I'm sorry, but that's a decision. You're playing Russian roulette with society. I've heard stories about killing an innocent person on the road when you're drunk.
Yes.
You get maybe 3 or 4 years in prison, okay? We hear these stories all the time. You're growing weed in your backyard, and you spend all this time, you know, I mean.
Well, that's not so bad. That was a bad analogy.
But, well, maybe that is. But
even Sanford knows it.
The rape stuff isn't right. You can rape somebody and only get 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that Sanford did some computer hacking. He should have to pay the price, a hefty fine, even though he's $1 billion in debt to court judgments. I don't know how that's going to work out. But the fact that he's going to jail for a couple of years for this, I think, is completely effing ridiculous.
It's more than a couple of years, yeah?
2.5 years.
I call it the injustice system. It's not the justice system, okay? It's just not. And the fact that he's going to give him 3 months or something, okay? Floyd Mayweather, okay? Not to get into the Floyd Mayweather stuff, but I'm going to, okay? He it's not allegedly, okay? He assaulted the mother of his kids, and he got 30 days in prison. Now, anyone listening, you tell me, what's worse, okay? Physically assaulting the mother of your kids and injuring her, or doing some computer hacking and sending people some spam emails? What's worse? He's getting 2.5 years behind bars. And the scumbag, because he is, okay? He is. I'm just going to call it like it is. Anyone, you put your hand on a woman, you're a scumbag.
Yeah.
Okay? Unless it's self-defense, which we know it wasn't. Floyd Mayweather got 30 days behind bars and complained about it, okay? There's something wrong with our justice system when the man sitting next to me goes to jail for 2.5 years and Floyd gets 30 days. There's something wrong.
It's probably because it became federal. Is that correct, Sanford? It's federal.
I think this is a business thing. This is business. Facebook has a lot of power.
Yeah.
And someone has to pay the price if they break the law, which I did. So that's why I mean, everyone's been professional. Everyone's been fair. But at the end of the day, I broke a law and I'm going to have to just pay the price for it.
And that's the right way of going about it. I'm just saying I'm pretty opinionated when it comes to the justice. I think it's a joke.
I think it's more if you're going to give 3 years for this. The funny thing is, I saw all the times you were accused, all the lawsuits you had against you, And really, in the end, you pleaded to one charge. Is that correct? It was one criminal charge.
Yeah, I mean, there was 11 counts that they charged you with right. originally, and obviously that's the whole point of a plea right. agreement. It's cooperative.
Right.
They didn't want to spend any more time or money on this either, I don't think.
Because this went, how long did this go on for?
I've been dealing with this case for 6 years now.
So 6 years they went back and forth. But I agree with you. I think it has to do with, if you weren't making money, this wouldn't matter. That's what it came down to, I think, right?
Well,
if you
I would have had better lawyers, probably. But actually, my lawyer, actually, I got lucky. I actually did get a good lawyer.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's people, high corporate people that yeah. have a whole office dedicated yeah. to their case, you know, and things are different, I think, when you have a lot of money in this country.
It's a bunch yeah. of baloney, and it also makes, in my opinion, the FBI look really bad if they put all this money to... How long were they following you, by the way, do you think?
They claimed 2 years.
Okay, so imagine how much money, taxpayer money, went into this,
yeah.
okay? So they want a prosecution, you know, they want to prosecute yeah. this guy because it makes them look bad. The FBI is following somebody like you for 2 freaking years. Imagine where those resources could have gone towards a violent criminal. It's ridiculous.
I'm just happy I asked her what her ID. I looked at the ID. I was so happy.
I don't know. It's ridiculous to me. Look, we all support-
and you're. I think you're a good guy. I'm a little biased because I think you're a great guy.
See, that shows you how good I am at selling people and stuff.
You're great. You're really fun. You're a nice person. But you know, you knew what was going on. It's just like you said, though. You didn't know it was a criminal act when you first started doing this.
I mean, it wasn't defined yet. A lot of the laws were created as a result of the actions of people
right,
like me.
Right.
Yeah. So
come on, plenty of the dates I've been on, I didn't know I was committing a criminal act until afterwards. When
hey,
she
you
told
were nowhere near, we're nowhere near that Girl Scout camp. <That's>, so, <yeah.
laughs> Your wardrobe is a federal offense.
That's true. Actually, I don't.
What
I
don't you don't trust. Like the Flintstones?
Whatever. Whatever. Mike forces me to wear this hat every show because he doesn't want to see my bald head.
No, it's glare. I can't have glare. I get glare.
That must be what it is. Sanford is going to stick around. He is graciously going to stick around for us. Coming up next segment, this is going to be actually kind of fun. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Robin Leach, he joined us a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on in Vegas. I know we got the Star Trek convention, right?
Yeah.
Talk about nerds and geeks. Some of your computer hacking friends, I'm sure, will be at the Star Trek convention. Let me tell you, those are some of the weirdest people. Can I just say that? Okay. You ever watch that show?
I think you said it.
To Catch a Predator?
Oh, I swear. Cookies on that show. They look so
the
good, don't they?
Really
the juice. The juice.
I'm just here for the cookies.
I'm telling you, the people at the Star Trek, you have adult men, 30, 40, 50 years old, that are wearing, I'm talking the whole apparel.
Dear Chris Hansen.
The whole Star Trek apparel. I'm thinking to myself, I saw you yeah. To Catch a Predator. Weird, just weird, weird people. That's all I'm going to say. If that's your thing, that's fine. Put them in jail for 2.5 years,
well,
not you.
Next week, we're getting Brian Bonzalon, actually, from Family Ties, and he was with Star Trek. So we'll have that next week.
But he's an actor. He's making money. That's
different.
Oh, no,
I just brought up because the convention.
You have adult men
yes.
on a Saturday afternoon
yeah.
that have nothing better to do than to put on Star Trek apparel, show up to the Star, get William Shatner's autograph, and walk around in those weird, corny outfits. I mean, that's not a way to pick
if you're
up-
at the Star Trek convention listening to our show, I like you guys.
Just
Brian little, Shapiro cutting off half our audience.
It's a little strange. That's all I'm going to say. It's a little.
No, it is funny.
Weird.
They seem to have a good time, though. They do have fun.
Well, they do. A lot of people have a good time, legal or illegal. Sanford had a good time. Anyway, Sanford's going to join us next. Our special guest, Sanford Wallace, in studio. I'll tell you what, that was fun. Robin Leach playing therapist with me, saying that I do have a problem. I
could
have
told you had a problem, and I'm not a therapist.
I have plenty of problems, but Rob, we always appreciate when Robin Leach comes out. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We have the Spam King, Sanford Wallace, here. He's going to jail next month, but you have an opportunity to ask him questions right now. He is one of the world's most renowned computer hackers, spammers in the world. Okay? The number to call if you want to chime in, 702-889-7410. Again, that's 889-7410. I'll tell you what, we're also going to take some questions on Facebook. Let's go straight to the phones right now. We got a caller, AJ, I believe. AJ on the line. AJ, thanks for calling in. What's your question for Sanford?
Well, I'd like to know, is gambling really all luck, or is there a strategy involved when you're throwing around that kind of money?
Well, that's a good question.
When Brian Shapiro wins playing poker, I'd say that's completely luck.
Right.
My craps was completely skill.
That's
it was?
There's no way.
What's the most money you ever won in one night?
I have won almost $500,000 about 15 years ago.
And, whoa, what?
$500,000. I lost more money in the stock market in one day than I did win on my craps game. That's how much I was gambling.
So give AJ some advice. If AJ brings $100 to the table, what is the best game for him to play, and what gives him the best odds to win?
Just I say put it on the field. Put it on the field. Bet the field.
Okay.
6-6.
Okay. And go. I got a question about the whole spam situation. So,
so I find this guy funny.
It seems to me that they just, you know, made an example of you when I see all the other things going on. Is there a chance for you to get out early on good behavior? Or can you do some kind of community service? Like, you know, if you want to crossing guard people, you know.
Crossing guard people.
Because you're a pretty big guy, from what I understand, so you could shield the children if there was a potential car accident or something.
I can't
you don't know, children, I'm just asking, man, trying to help you out. You don't want to get out.
He takes down the pot.
Would you like to buy a T-shirt, sir? Would you?
I definitely like to buy a T-shirt, but it got to be black, though. If you want to free somebody, you got to be black, man. You can't a white T-shirt trying to free somebody. When does that happen?
AJ, those were some really good questions. I'm going to ask him about the crossing guard situation. Maybe he could do a little community service. AJ, thanks for calling in, buddy. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
That's a valid question,
Is a valid question.
Good behavior. You get, right?
I think they take like 5 days off. They don't do that much for you in federal prison.
Are crossing guards former felons? That's probably not a good place to put crossing guards around little children. My good, Chris Hansen would be out there every day.
With the cookies.
The cookies. Let's go to Facebook now. Well, don't worry, Sanford. We're not incriminating you with Facebook.
Someone wants to know, they ask, someone did ask a question. They wanted to know if you knew anything about that ransomware. No.
I've been told I don't know anything about
that. Yes. He's not allowed on the internet, people. So how would he know that? Yeah, you're really not, right? You're not allowed to be on the internet. Is that correct?
No comments.
Okay. So no.
Go ahead. Next question on Facebook.
And someone wants to know, what does that mean? He's going to spam me now. I am watching this live.
Well, if they're on Facebook Live, right?
Yes.
Oh, then Facebook's going to spam them.
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting spammed, but just not by me.
There you go. So there you go with that.
You're screwed.
Other people are just writing funny things. Someone also wanted to know, at what point did you realize it was going to be a problem? Like, as far as...
when I got a girlfriend that had a very expensive taste in dresses. And I mean, I was going to these really expensive stores. I knew that was a problem.
Okay. I didn't know if that was a problem they meant, but okay.
You got your last month of freedom before you go away and spend a little time behind bars. Last couple days before you go away, you're in Vegas. What do you want to do?
Probably throw a few parties.
Yeah. What is a Sanford spam party?
They're going to have to find out on the Vegas Take Facebook page, I think.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That, only way to find out how to party with Sanford Wallace this month, you have to go to Vegas Take on Facebook.
Oh, you see that? That's why he's a professional promoter.
It's clever.
The guy, he knows what he's doing.
There are probably FBI agents outside the door right now ready to arrest me for that. But
you've seen Mike's show before, by the way, right?
I love Mike's show. I go there every 3-4 days. I get laid every time I go. It's incredible.
You went with me last time.
Welcome to the show.
What is that supposed to mean? No, Mike does a great job. He really does an awesome job. And
funniest guy in Vegas right there. Funniest
I
guy.
I agree.
Outright.
I agree.
And the tricks are good, too. The magic tricks are incredible.
The magic is good. I don't know. I don't understand how you do some of those illusions. I don't get it.
Now, how about, are you allowed to play cards or anything? Or you're banned from the tables, right?
I can't do anything fun for about another 2 years.
Well, that's not true. You can do some fun things. Oh, you're talking about when you're behind bars.
No, he can't.
That's it.
So you're not allowed to play cards. Nothing now, right?
I could play cards. We're just not allowed to bet on it, so.
Oh, really? What's the point?
We could play Go Fish.
Yeah, we could play Go Fish. We could play horse.
We could play horse. We could play Go Fish. I could play horse with some of my dates that look like horses. Could do that as well. Was that spam?
Is that spam? Sanford Wallace? Is
somebody hacking into your cell phone right now? What's going on?
I'm hacking into theirs.
What could be so important that somebody's text? Can you share with us what text you just got?
I actually can't.
We have a dump button, but
that's a sick word.
I think I know what that text was. Anyway, Sanford's going away for a little while, as we've reported.
I'm going to miss him.
I'm going to miss him, too. He's
a
fun
guy. He's very
fun. I've known Sanford for about 8 or 9 years.
Can I tell him how you guys met, by the way? No.
Is that allowed?
No, okay, sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're sitting at the poker table. Yeah? They're sitting at the poker table. Sanford's, I suppose he was winning some money at the time, and Brian yells across the table. What, why don't you say it, Brian? Clean it up for us.
I called him an effing idiot because he didn't, first of all, I lost the hand. He had like four outs means he had only four cards in the deck he could have won with, and we had all the money in the pot, and he got lucky, and he didn't even know he got lucky. He didn't even, he misread his hand. So in the world of poker, that's called a slow roll. When somebody flips their cards over and the guy waits and looks, and then flips it. Oh, I didn't even know I had that. And the guy puts in like $800 in the pot, and he doesn't know how to read his cards, and he beats me. So I went nuts. I went crazy. I don't like bad poker players that get lucky against me. It drives me nuts. So I call them an effing idiot, even though I'm sitting right next to him, and he weighs probably 300 pounds more than I do, and he could probably kill me with his arm. And I called him that to his face, and then
I said, I like this guy.
And they became friends.
That's the truth. Yeah, that's how we met. I get a little crazy when I'm playing poker. I get a little animated.
Yes.
I don't like to lose. I'm a sore winner and loser. People have called me Phil Hellmuth before, the poker brat.
Yeah.
Although I think I'm a lot worse than him, and I have a lot less money than he has, and I'm not as successful as he
is. Yeah, we have nothing to lose, so.
Right, exactly.
So, except your temper.
But yeah, Sanford's actually, I met him at the poker table years ago. He's a good player. And, yeah, I guess it was just love at first sight. You know,
well,
what can I say?
I made Brian funny, though. That's the one thing I gave him.
Oh, he wasn't
funny? Funny guy, yeah.
I disagree with that.
Before he knew me, he was very, very, very boring.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with that. Sanford does get a lot of women. I will say that. He gets a lot of women.
He had a couple at my show.
Craigslist is a great place.
Craigslist.
He gets a lot of club promoters. So how's your family taking all this stuff, the fact that you're going away for a little while?
You're not a lawyer. You should have grown up to be a lawyer.
That's exactly how they take it.
So your family lives back east, right? You don't have any family here.
I'm going to probably visit them, though, at the end of the month.
How does that work when you have to report to prison? Do you drive a car there? Do you take a plane there?
Trust me, it's better than taking their transportation. That's 100%.
Does someone drop you off? I think Brian should take you.
I think so, too, especially after he made me do this interview.
But. He can't take you in that wreck of a vehicle he's got. It just won't make it to Colorado.
I don't think it would. Although the car is, my car is clean now.
It is clean.
I actually did clean it up. I actually did clean it up pretty good. Your show is going pretty good, huh? You got pretty good crowds. I was at your show the other day. Going again tonight.
Yeah, it's tonight, 7 o'clock, if anyone wants to come. 7 o'clock, Four Queens Hotel.
And Steve does a good job, too. Steve Conley.
Steve's very good. He's at 9 o'clock. Yeah. Spirit of the King at 9 o'clock.
I've never seen Sanford laugh so hard. He almost died.
At Steve's show?
At your show.
Oh, my show. No,
I Steve's almost had a heart attack, dude.
I mean, I was laughing.
It would have been a good break. I wouldn't have had so many times.
I couldn't look over by you because I would have started laughing. I would have broken my, you know, that character of, picking on people.
But we'll be coming right back at you next week, right? Same time.
Next week, we've got Forbes Riley from the Spin Gym and Brian Bonzel. He's going to be here. He's from Family Ties, Star Trek, a bunch of things. And he's in a band now, and he's nuts, and he's great.
Good celebrity guests.
Yeah,
coming
some
up.
Fun people. And Robin.
Yes, of course. We'll have Robin Leach again. So we got three good guests coming up. Thanks for joining
Sanford,
us, everybody.
Sanford, you're awesome.
Sanford, I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. For real.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Wish you luck. I know everything will go well, and you got a new life coming up in a couple of years.
Free Sanford Wallace.
Right. All right, thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next week.